And now, Forward with Falk. Join Scranton political observer Dave Falk and WFTE's Jake Rosen as they navigate their way through the political thicket. Well, Dave, according to what I have seen of the polls this week, the honeymoon is over. 1 month gone, 1 month honeymoon, and Trump is underwater again. And more interestingly, he's underwater on the economy, where he got elected because he was allegedly the man to fix the economy. And now people in the majority are already saying he's a failure on the economy. Much less, well, I mean, and they don't like his policies, the majority. Anywhere else across the board, you have
except immigration.
But even among the Republicans, 15 to 25% of Republicans don't like his policy and don't like the way he's going about things, according to the Washington Post, Ipsos, and two other polls.
Well, there's more signs than that. This week we had a number of Republican congressmen go back to their home districts and have town halls that didn't go very well for them. That they ran, even in deep red districts, into angry constituents expressing distaste for... if it isn't on what is happening, it's on how it's happening as well.
Well, look at the Farm Belt. You know, the farmers, rock-ribbed Republicans. He cancels the United States aid programs. The aid programs were buying hundreds of millions of dollars worth of food produced by those farmers, which are now canceled. Those purchases are canceled. They have no place to sell that stuff now.
Right.
I don't think they imagined that that was going to happen.
Well, it was always... he's going to stick it to people, but they always thought, not me. I have a more personal set of anecdotes or anecdote. My wife was having lunch with a friend of ours who we know voted for Trump, is a conservative Catholic. And turns out that one of her children married a Hispanic. And now they're worried about parts of that family being rounded up and deported. And they're kind of shocked and worried. Like, you know, duh, where were you?
Yeah.
And not only that, but there's another member of the family whose job may now be on the line. So, again, it was the not me syndrome, and they're finding out, yeah, it was you. And I think a lot of these people are finding that out. You know, it's not just Trump, but they're also, even worse than Trump, is Elon Musk. People really don't like Elon Musk, and they don't like, if they don't like what he's doing, they don't like how he's doing it on things. You know, he's using the phrase waste, fraud, and abuse. I use the phrase that it's haste, fraud, and confuse. He's hurrying up, calling things fraud that aren't fraud. They're just policy differences. And
that's right. That's very important. These are policy differences. And since they don't agree with the policy, they say every nickel spent on these policies we don't like is fraud.
Right.
Because you shouldn't have the policy.
Yeah, Mike Smirkanish had a fellow on this week, and the guy was saying, well, we spent these hundreds of millions of dollars in Ukraine. It was all fraud. Excuse me? You know, defending a democracy and decimating the Russian army had no value or no use. But that's their party line thinking. Again, people aren't, they're starting to see things. The Washington Post ran a survey of what Musk was claiming in terms of savings, and they found out that a lot of it really didn't exist, that he was saying that they canceled over 400 contracts, and they totaled up that the value of those contracts, but it turns out those contracts had already ended, and there was no more value to those contracts. It was zero. But they're claiming it. There were 51 other contracts that totaled up to less than $1 million. So they were very small stuff.
And how about the contract that by itself was 50% of some of the projected savings in one area, because it was an $8 billion contract that they canceled, except it turned out it was actually an $80 million contract.
An $8 million.
Oh, I'm sorry, $8 million, right.
Right.
Not $8
billion. Right. Yeah. What's the difference between a million and a billion? Well,
right.
A big difference. What they're claiming.
Yeah.
What they're claiming. And this guy, Smirkanish, said, well, what we're going to do is, if he can save $2 trillion, we're going to give 20% of it back to the American people. It was their money. And as Mike Smirkanish pointed out, he said, that money isn't there. The fact that you're not spending it doesn't mean you have it. You've got a $36 trillion debt. All you're going to do is, in order to come up with the cash that isn't there, that you're not coming up with, you're going to have to borrow the money. It's going to increase the debt, not get rid of the debt. And if you remember, although he didn't make this point, one of the criticisms of the Biden problem with inflation was that last set of checks that went out was inflationary. And if you're going to pump $400 million into the economy, giving everybody $5,000, you're going to exacerbate inflation again, which, by the way, has been going up. It got back up to 3% last
year. And you know, the stock market went down 1,200 points Thursday and Friday of this week.
Yeah. Based on a whole host of things that are happening. And
But I want to ask you something. If the guy said that they're going to save however much they're going to save, and they're going to return 20% as a dividend to the American people, why isn't he going to return 100%? Why 20%? What's he doing? What happened to the other 80%?
Well, they had 20% for something else, but then, yeah, where was the other 60% or the other 80%?
Yeah.
Where's that money going?
Yeah.
I think it's going into Elon Musk's pocket. You know, and they...
Well, it doesn't exist to begin with, but the point is, just conceptually, when you're thinking about this, if you really think that people are getting robbed by the taxes and you want to return people to give people back their money that otherwise is being taken from them, well, why don't you think you should give it all back?
Yeah. Yeah. It makes no sense. It was gobbledygook.
It's terrible ideas all the way down the line, built on terrible ethics.
Yeah. Yeah. And this guy wasn't, first of all, the other point I wanted to make was he was complaining about the money spent in Ukraine and said, we've got problems at home. But notice they never complain about Elon Musk's projects like to go to Mars.
Yeah.
They should have asked that right off the top. Say, well, then how many billion dollars are we earmarked for Elon Musk to go to Mars, and see what this guy, you know, starts humming about. I saw the same kind of blather from Hassert, the head of the OMB. Pointing out really the fallacies behind their thinking, and he gave an answer that was, if you gave that answer to a test in Economics 101, you would get an F.
Yeah,
it makes no sense, but they make it sound good. That's the confused part of what I said. You know, the haste, the fraud, and the confuse.
I notice also that the Times did a survey checked into the contracts that have been canceled, and you're probably going to be shocked, but a lot of those, the preponderant number of contracts canceled were with companies owned by people who were not white or people who were not male.
Yeah, they went after, remember, there was a program for minority businesses.
Yeah, that's right. They got rid of all those contracts.
Yeah, and if you notice, they are really focusing on minorities. They just canned the head of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, who happened to be black. They canned the women who were heading the Chief of Naval Operations and the Coast Guard, right?
Right.
Women.
Right. They should never have been appointed. They were just unsuitable.
Yeah. Yeah. By the very nature of their being.
Right.
In essence.
Right.
All these things. And of course, I think I may have mentioned last week where the new Secretary of Defense is going to rechange the name from Fort Liberty back to Fort Bragg. And wink, wink, it's not about the Confederate general. It's just about some unknown guy. But we know what it's about.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So we have those things going on. And, of course, they've come up with some other schemes this week. In addition to getting rid of FEMA, they're now talking about getting rid of the Weather Bureau, the National Oceanographic and Atmospheric Association.
Well, they've been wanting to privatize that for quite a while.
Yeah. Yeah, so everybody has to pay to get their weather forecast. Yes.
And you saw also that they now really are moving into double time to privatize the post office.
Yeah. Louis DeJoy is going to be going.
They fired the board, right?
Yeah. If he has the question is, does he really have the power? Because the post office appears in the Constitution as a congressional thing. But, the Republicans in both houses of Congress don't seem to be wanting to stand up for their congressional prerogatives and congressional duties.
And I just want to point out, the plan they have for making the post office a profitable operation is to stop delivering mail to your home, but instead have you go to a central pickup place, it's called a post office, and get it out of a post office box. Now, that's what we have in the rural areas, except we don't have it when they close down the post offices in the really small villages. So, for example, we had a post office in my village, but they closed it down. So now, if you want to get your mail, and if they're going to stop home delivery, everybody is going to have to drive not less than 6 miles each way to a central distribution point. And if they think that's not effective, then you'll have to drive even further, 14, 15 miles, a half hour, because that's what it takes to get 14 or 15 miles if you go across mountains to get your mail. That's what they're talking about, stopping delivery of the mail.
And stopping on Saturdays. And the other thing is, some of the competitors to the post office actually use the post office.
That's right, because they can't afford to deliver to your door and make a profit. The only way to make a profit is not to deliver. Just the way in the hospital situation, the medical situation, the only way to make a profit is not to allow people to get services.
You know, this is going back to the same situation that existed in rural areas in the 1930s with electrification, where the private sector would not service the people who were far out because it didn't make sense.
That's right.
Economically.
That's right.
So,
and there's a lot of stuff that government does that is not profitable by its nature. It can't be. But it's something that humans need to live.
The purpose of government is not to make a profit.
Not according to these guys.
The purpose of government is laid out in the preamble to the Constitution, which includes to promote the general welfare.
Well, to them, it's to promote profitability. That's what they're talking about. They're talking about efficiency. What is efficiency? Efficiency is a measure of profitability.
Well, but they wanted to talk about efficiency, except when it conflicts with one of their beneficiaries. So
picky.
Medicare negotiating lower prices on drugs. No, we can't do that. Just like business would do.
Right.
That kind of thing. Right. Although with Robert Kennedy Jr. now, the head of HHS, I don't know what's going to happen in terms of drug companies, although he's probably doesn't want people. I saw something where he's going to try to ban drug advertisements on TV. I don't know if you've watched TV lately, but my God, it's almost every other commercial is for some product. And
apparently it works, right?
Yeah. And if he does that, you know, you're going to see the advertising and the big media companies take a big hit on that. Of course, one of the criticisms of the drug companies is that they spend more money on marketing than they do on research, which, by the way, is funded mostly by the government, but maybe not anymore. they've stopped research on things like cancer and I believe Alzheimer's as well. You know, there's certain experiments or certain ways of doing research that require years of follow-up. And if you stop the program or you stop the project, you'd have to start from the beginning again. It's not that you could just pick things up. You know, they give two sets of people. One group gets gets the real drug and one gets a placebo. Well, if you stop, then nobody gets anything.
Or you want to do a study over 10 years. If you stop,
right,
you're not doing a study over 10 years.
Right.
Well, what they're talking about is cutting the scope of government in a situation where there's no other capital source to develop what modern society requires. And the general way the economy works is rich governments provide the research and development, and when a concept is proven, they farm it out to the highest bidder to profit on it, make it profitable for themselves. But the risk is borne by the government. Cut the government out? I'm not exactly sure how modern capitalism works.
Yeah. Well, we all already know the phrase, privatize the profits and socialize the
risk.
The expenses.
Yeah.
The risk. But there's two things I wanted to say about that. Number one is we do have that experiment that goes on among the states, where the red states don't participate in certain things, and they have far less or far worse health outcomes than the blue states.
And also they have a lower life expectancy.
Well, that's one of the outcomes.
Yeah.
You know, you talk about Mississippi, Louisiana, Arkansas, Alabama.
Yeah, you're talking about 5, 7, 8 years of difference between a place like Mississippi and a place like Pennsylvania.
Or
and not to the advantage of Mississippi, to the advantage of Pennsylvania.
No. The other thing is a more, I think, is a more fundamental view of government and governance. The libertarian view, which has been ascendant, and really was the American view for many, many years, because I think as a result of living under a tyrant king, was that the government that does less governs best, and that government and it became a revived, you know, that was overcome by the New Deal, where people saw the government could be helpful to them. But then we got Reagan, who said government is the problem. And so we've had this drumbeat for over 40 years that you can't trust government. I mean, you saw what happened in North Carolina with the floods, where people wouldn't even apply for grants because they, you know, I don't want no government interfering in my, in helping me, you know, kind of stuff. And, you know, you can understand if you had a tyrannical government, you don't want the government to be stronger in people's lives. But what we've gotten the other side, again, is the New Deal side, which says one of the roles or one of the things government can do is to help people. It can make life easier. That's provide for the common, for the general welfare. That's the struggle that I think we're seeing writ large. Some people say the government can't help me, or it's good to be on, everybody's really good to be on their own, and they're really not on their own, type of stuff.
Anyway, so, the people who argue that we shouldn't have a government, they're lying. They don't think that, really. They want the government. They want the government to be strong. But what they want it to be is a government that strongly enforces their right to own property, their right to make profit, their right to keep profit, and to make sure that nobody can interfere with that, whether it's workers going out on strike or other nations competing with them in their product. They want the government to be able to do that. They want a government to be able to do that. That's what they want. And they want it to be as strong as necessary in order to do that. What they don't want is a government that helps any other group. So consistent with identifying themselves as the nation and their interests as the national interest, they talk about a strong, you know, you don't have a country unless you have borders, right?
Right.
Exactly. You have a country, whether or not you have borders. Israel's a country. They don't have a border. Their whole point is they don't have a border.
Sure. Green line, you know. They can't get the Palestinians to agree to a border. But, I think this week we saw that that interesting cartoon that came out where they show North America except Alaska is labeled West Canada, Greenland's East Canada, and the 48 states are South Canada.
Right.
You know?
Exactly.
Hey, if Trump could change the name of the Gulf of Mexico, then Canada can change the name of North America.
Exactly.
I keep saying, and I think I said it once before, we ought to be talking about Trump being, back at sea to lake. You know, it is. That's what Mar-a-Lago means. Let's anglicize it instead of Hispanicize it. But, you know, and this gets back, though, to where we started from.
But if you did that with every word in the English language, what would you speak? 60% of the words in the English language come from French.
Yeah, Norman French. Mutton. We're back to the honeymoon's over because people are starting to see what government does and what a lack of government does or doesn't do.
But I want to know is what are the Democrats doing, especially the Democrats in Washington? I don't hear anything.
I'd like to know what the Democrats in Pennsylvania are doing.
I'd like to know that, too. That's right. There's some who are speaking up and trying, but for the most part, zippo, right?
So far. And the thing is, there's no time to waste. We've noted before that the Democrats seem to wait and only gear up from election to election, not in between elections, to do the hard work that's necessary to build a party and to build a movement. This year, there's some really critical, not just elections for legislative office, but there's elections in Wisconsin and here in Pennsylvania for the judiciary. They're a little bit different. In Wisconsin, it's actually a competitive seat, Democrat versus conservative Republican. And the Republicans have thrown in millions and millions of dollars. Elon Musk is throwing in a lot of money. In Pennsylvania, the Democrats have control of the court by a 5-2 margin. So the Republicans are trying to cancel at least two out of the three justices who are up for a thing called retention.
Right, who are all Democrats, who are that majority.
Right, and every 10 years, the justices have to stand for whether the people agree that they should continue for another 10 years. That's the retention. Only once in our history has a judge or justice been thrown out for retention, although another one was probably going to lose, he resigned. Justice Larson was thrown out, but he had some real problems, and he should have been thrown off the bench. But the ones that are up now are really stood up for the people against big corporations. They were the ones that would not stand for the gerrymander of the congressional districts. So now we have tightly drawn contiguous looking districts that are much more fair and reflect the political makeup of Pennsylvania. They're 9-8. It used to be like, 12 or 13-5. It used to be 13-5. We've lost a seat on there.
It was 13-5, right.
Yeah, and that's the difference. If you could imagine three or four seats that the Supreme Court can allow to happen because they want it to be a fair election.
And that would have changed the whole composition of the National Congress.
Well, if they had those things in places like North Carolina and Ohio and in Texas, where the gerrymanders have been severe, the makeup of the Congress would have been different. The makeup of the Congress would have been different. So those things are up there, and I try to get the attention of some people involved in the election, and all I heard back is, "Well, we got to raise money." Well, we're never going to outraise Jeffrey Yaz and Elon Musk. By the way, the Wisconsin theory, we're going to know in a number of weeks. They're going to apparently attack Elon Musk, make him the face of the Republican candidates. I think it's about time. People really, Musk is polling far worse than Donald Trump. And every day he seems to make things worse.
Did you notice the reviews of Wolf's new book on Trump, his fourth book? That's going to be published this week, that The Guardian released. In the course of the campaign asked Jared and Ivanka to sign a statement saying that Donald was not an anti-Semite, and they refused to do it. Isn't that interesting?
It is.
Yeah.
It is. They've tried to distance themselves from parts of Donald Trump's issues, but you know where the money is involved behind the scenes with the Saudis and stuff. I think you'll find Kushner.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, you'll find
Kushner. No question about it. In any case, the Democrats, somebody has to start being the check. That's the American system: checks and balances. If there's somebody not checking these people, the system doesn't exist. Never mind you don't have a country. You don't have a constitutional government without the group that's in the minority checking the majority.
Yeah. It's called accountability.
Accountability. All right. This is it. We're accountability. We're done. We'll see what happens next week.
Yeah. We'll
because
see you next
the
week.
Because Trump is continuing. The roller coaster continues. He's barreling ahead. The resistance has to start showing itself.
And we shall see.
See you next week.
See you next week.
You've been listening to Forward with Falk. Longtime Scranton political observer Dave Falk and WFTE's Jake Rosen discuss politics. Join them again next week, same time, same place.